everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. It has been a while. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Dan, how's your summer going so far?
It's going well and going fast. And it is good to be back with you, Austin, back with everybody listening or watching. I had some time out of town, both for church-related trip, going to Kenya to be with our partner church there, and then some family vacation after. So it's been, you know, between myself and you had some travels, what, about 5 weeks?
I think 5 weeks. I think we did one episode somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's been crazy, but it's so good to be back. I am so jealous of your Kenya trip. If you get the chance to ask him about his Kenya trip, you should do it. Kenya is one of the most incredible places I've ever been. I love it to death. So I'm glad you went, but I am glad you're back. We're about to start our outdoor series. Yeah. So I do want to let everyone who's listening know we do still plan on doing deeper during that. If my notes happen to be lacking, we might delve into a evening service just because we're not going to be recording or live streaming. But we do plan on continuing deeper as normal during that time, just so you all know. Now that that's out of the way, Dan, what did we talk about last week?
Yeah. So it was good to be back in back home here at Friendship, and even just back in the pulpit here. I did preach while I was in Kenya, unrelated to our sermon series, but that was great too. So we've been focusing on some numbers of scripture and these texts where numbers show up in significant ways, and what do they mean? How do they help us see what's going on? So we came to the feeding of the 5,000 this week in John, and we noted how not only is there the 5,000 number, but there's several other numbers also, the 12 basketfuls left over, 5 loaves, 2 fish, which added to 7, you know, as far as the food that was distributed. So it kind of stands out, and we noted it also stands out because it's the only miracle in the heart of Jesus' ministry, of course, excluding his resurrection and that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. And that's pretty significant. And just said it's a very, not only memorable thing that takes place, no doubt, but it also speaks so clearly into who Jesus is, why he's come. The whole bread example, he's going to carry that, John 6, for his sermon that follows. So very fitting. And just, we talked about, I was thinking like, all right, how do we relate what's going on in a visual? So use kind of the battery or power image to connect some of that. Just, you know, he's the life-giving power. And I'm the bread of life, Jesus will say shortly after this happens. You know, I'm the life-giving power for you. And anyone who eats of me will live and have eternal life. And he gets into all that, and people have a hard time understanding him and all this and that too. So we kind of use that as the overall, this is the main communication that Jesus is making. And then we kind of used the example of, you know, how do we bring that into, you know, the different situations of our lives. And I used the equation since we were talking about numbers, you know, this different equation, which shows up in the story. All right, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We got 5,000 people. How's that going to work? Well, when Jesus is involved, suddenly this equation changes. And so just talking about that in our lives too, and the different situations and the different parts of that equation that are all spoken into. So hopefully nobody felt like they had to do math, but at least I thought was a different way of getting into what that text is communicating,
you know,
to us.
What's good is I had to retake statistics like 4 times. So it wasn't too much math for me anyways.
Yeah. Jesus math is different. Right?
Jesus math is all is right. Exactly. And I loved especially that battery analogy you started out with. So again, you were talking about how, you know, it was the middle of winter, your house started getting cold, you realized that your furnace wasn't turned on,
right?
Effectively, you know, right. It was not connected to power. It's a beautiful, expensive piece of machinery doing absolutely nothing.
Right.
It reminded me of January last year. Danik and I were driving our old van. And it's important to note, this old van had about 310,000 miles on it. Mm-hmm. So when I say old, it is old. Mm-hmm. And we were driving to the gym. It was like a 5-minute drive. I'm like, I know I need to take it into the shop. I'm starting to get some, you know, check engine light stuff, but we can make it to the gym and back. It's fine.
Right.
We get about halfway there and just lights start bing, bong, bing, bang, 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 all over the place. And we're like, okay, so, well, we're 2 minutes from the gym. We can surely make it to the gym.
Right.
Like, that's not at all. We get through an intersection and all of the power goes out in this car. I mean, like, everything from the heat to the big one for me was the power steering. You don't realize how much you rely on power steering until it's gone.
Yeah.
So fortunately, it was not busy. It was early enough in the day that I was able to just yank that sucker. Like, it was almost a pirate wheel. It was kind of how I played.
Yeah.
pull it, and we eventually pulled into a, and just coast it, because obviously, no engine.
Yeah.
We just coast into a parking lot, turn it off, and they're like, well, I guess we got to get it towed. When we got it towed, found out the issue was our alternator. Yeah. Now, I'm not a car guy, so if I say something wrong, car people, forgive me. But as I understand it, the alternator is what allows your battery to connect to your car effectively. Mm. It basically means, okay, yes, fancy car that can do all these wonderful things, here's the power to do that with. Mm-hmm. And having that sudden loss of power throws you for a loop.
Yeah.
And I just thought of that again. Like, we don't realize how much we rely on the power of God, especially as believers, until we feel like we might not have access to that, or until something goes crazy. Which kind of leads into my first question, because a lot of us here at Friendship may have been in a church faith context our entire lives. Mm-hmm. You know, from some people would say cradle Catholic. For me, I don't remember a time where I didn't love Jesus.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case for everyone, but for a decent amount of people here, I know that to be true. And so when you have never experienced life disconnected from the power of Jesus, it can be really easy to begin to doubt, am I really doing this right? Is there really that connection to power? Because I certainly don't feel different. I might not necessarily feel, again, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't know what you have until it's missing. Obviously, if you never had that to start out with, that can be like, or never had that experience to start out with, it can be easy to fall into doubt and questions. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder if you have any thoughts on that specific.
It's interesting. We also had alternator issues this past summer, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think that's right. The way I would term it is, you know, because I too grew up in the church. Now, I think we've shared it on here before. Like, my family was brand new to the faith when I was born. You know, my parents really, you know, came back to the faith or converted to the faith just before that. So for them, it was new and fresh, but I then grew up in it. And I think it can be, we can wonder, like, well, what's so special? Like, think of your car. Like, it's running. I have the air on or the heat. I've got the radio playing. You know, the windshield wipers are working. You're like, it's what it does every day. What's so special about it? This is existing here, and all these things are happening. So I think that can be the case sometimes when we've lived in faith and we know the Lord. We just kind of take for granted, like, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Or the fact, we're part of a church community and there's things happening there and there's this fellowship and there's ministries and we're just like, oh yeah, it's the car is running. Mm-hmm. What it always does. This is life following, you know, and so you do tend to at times forget or you just don't know otherwise, which is a blessing.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say one other way you think about it is we get stuck in the green pastures. We forget what it's like to need more,
right? Be in the wilderness. And one example, because I think we all do have these moments when the batteries needs to be replaced or the alternator's gone out, or we don't, to put it in spiritual language, we don't sense the Lord's presence close with us, or we're struggling to see him at work, or it's not, we trust he's working but it's not tangible, right? Or we don't see it in that way. And then I would say, what a gift to see the Psalms where those kinds of things are expressed. Here's folks too that probably their whole lives. I mean, if you got like an Asaph writing or somebody that grew up in the church community, right? And yet these expressions of, when I look to you, it's painful because I sense things aren't right. And where are you? Are you just turning away? And I think that can be very helpful, because sometimes we have these moments where it feels like the battery has run out and I'm feeling disconnected. Is it because I've done something? It could be, but maybe not. Or what's going on? Why is he away from me personally, or the church is struggling? And so to know that this isn't a unique to you or me kind of moment, but yes, sometimes we do have this sense the Lord's further away. We're disconnected from that power. And then so what do we do to get our alternator fixed, so to speak? And I think turning to the Word, continuing seeking him in prayer, you see that wrestling there in the Psalms, or even with Jesus in his ministry, in his life. Even at the cross, my God, why have you forsaken? So I think for one, what happens when we feel like we are disconnected, you can do that. In general, when we're going along, is to not take for granted, to maybe talk together, seek together. Yeah, how is the Lord at work? And maybe, again, you don't think much when you flip on your windshield wipers and they come on, but that's the power's working, right? And so it might be, we just noted, like, we got GEMS coming up and cadets and these other things. And GEMS, we had seeing that we needed leaders, and a bunch stepped up. That's the power of God at work. Or, oh, yeah, we were looking for outreach ministries. Suddenly we have a connection over at Hunter's Glen. That's the Spirit of God, the power of Him at working, and people stepping into those things. Or, yeah, a church in Kenya, just to use personally that we're connected with, and we're able to, you know, witness together. And I mean, these things, we just say, oh, yeah, of course. But they don't just happen apart from the power of God. Or personally, you know, think of your life, I think of mine, where we all deal with sin. And maybe you see, like, I've made some progress here with my selfishness, or with my lust, or with my greed. That's not just happening. That's, yeah, you flip down the windshield, like, God's at work. Let's not take that for granted. Or we've seen new people come to the faith. We have baptisms this past year. Well, of course we did. Well, that's the power of God at work. So I think for us, yeah, sometimes there is feeding of 5,000 moments. And I think at times, if we really are honest, look back, we do have moments that are pretty dramatic, where it's like, wow, yeah, the power of God was very evident. And we need Him at times. But a lot of times there's just things that, yeah, my turn signal's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, the radio's coming on. Well, that's the power of God working and connecting us too. I was able to witness to someone. Someone appreciated my encouragement of them, or my prayers for them. I think that's God at work and working through you. So
sometimes we like to be like the main character in an action movie where everything is happening and it's so cinematic and cool.
Right.
There's miracles. And yeah, and like a lot of the times God's working in the really mundane.
Yes, absolutely. And when we just talked even before we came on, you know, you get, you know, the Gospels, and they're presenting, you know, maybe 3 years of Jesus' ministry. But even in that, it's not like every day is described there. It's not like every day, like someone's touching his clothes and there's dramatic things happening and he's feeding 5,000. There was days that were quite ordinary, relatively speaking. And that's true of us as well.
Yeah. Moving on then, one of the things that we highlighted was Jesus rewards our faith and efforts towards His kingdom work, which is so encouraging, because half the time it feels like our involvement in trying to do kingdom work is so futile. So as an example for this case, I care very deeply about care of creation, you know, stewarding the garden that we were put in. So, you know, recycling just as one small thing. I love recycling. Part of that's also probably because I married a Canadian. And when I went to Canada this last summer, they had 4 separate places for different types of recycling. So they're really intentional about it, which I love. And so I love, you know, doing what I can to steward creation. And yet, when I look at, you know, it, where I grew up in Uganda, for example, where, you know, if you're, if it was similar in Kenya, where oftentimes they're just throwing trash into the, you know, the side of the road, or let alone, you know, bigger countries that have really, they're just not good at taking care of creation. I'm just a guy. I don't own a business. You know, let alone a big business that actually makes a dent in these things. I'm just me trying to do my faithful work. And it's so hard sometimes to remember that God does reward that and God does value that work. So how can we keep that hope and that perspective when we are doing work towards God's kingdom of restored creation in this case? And yet God doesn't seem to be in a hurry to fix it for us.
At least not on the big scale. Yes. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate the honesty of the text. Like Andrew comes, that boy, he's got the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he's offering it up. Like, all right, well, here you go, Lord. But then he says the honest statement, but what could so little do among so many? And that's kind of your point of, okay, I'm taking out my recycling, but it's a big world out there. There's a lot of waste and there's a lot of things. Like, what difference is it to make? It could be very discouraging. And sort of highlight, Jesus is saying, yeah, no, this matters, and I will work with this. And in that case, of course, yeah, it feeds all these people. You know, so you could say in some ways, yeah, the solution and a big picture was given there. And so you don't always see that. It's not like, oh, you put out your bin and we need the paper the next day. You're like,
the Great Pacific garbage patch is gone.
Right. But the encouragement is Jesus is working on that. So I'll just give an example, and you probably know some of this, right? So going to Kenya, it's like you can't bring past plastic bags. There's no plastic bags. Well, that's because in the past, these things were littered and they were all over.
Yeah.
And people have been there. Some of our group that went had been there some years before. And they said, like, oh, yeah, you could tell the difference. You can see that. Like, they're not there anymore. And so it's like, oh, okay. Now, I know that's not just an individual. That was more of a larger effort. But it's a picture of, like, hey, if we make some efforts. So for us as a church, individually, we make some efforts. Like, we shouldn't doubt that some difference could make. Maybe it's just in my little area or this person's life. If I, you know, whatever my, you know, project is and I'm working on or feel compelled toward. But that's what Jesus is upholding, that you know, I will work through these things. Even if you trust me a little bit and you say, well, I only have this much, you know, what is that going to do? Right. Well, yeah, maybe it's not going to change, you know, the world. Someone across in Japan is not going to be like, wow, Friendship Church Austin did this.
Right.
But maybe someone right here is affected and Jesus is working through that. And that matters too.
Well, I think remembering who we are in community and mission to and with makes a big difference. So like, unless I operate an NGO that's involved in international garbage cleanup, like there is no reason, like that should not be the person I'm trying to take care of the people here.
Right.
Because these are the people that I can actually influence. And so keeping an honest perspective of myself, I cannot solve these issues,
right?
But I can impact, you know, help my neighbors out with something. And keeping the scale in mind, I think, is helpful.
Absolutely.
In a study like this.
And part of the message too is remembering, yeah, Jesus is the only savior here. He's the only one who's going to make all things new, truly.
Yes.
And so we need to have that humility, but we can't let that become then like, well, yeah, he's just got to do everything. So I wouldn't do anything. So.
Great transition, by the way, because our next question deals with that exactly. There are some things that we see in that we know as believers that we see in scripture that we will not be able to fix. Mm-hmm. You think of poverty, the poor will always be among you, right? We live in a sinful world, and there are things that we as sinful humans just can't fix about that. Mm-hmm. We look at poverty, we look at hunger, we look at all these things that we can always try and do things better, mm-hmm. but we will never be able to fix them. Those are Jesus things. Mm-hmm. Jesus has to return. Jesus has to bring his kingdom here for a lot of the really big issues in the world to cease.
Right.
And so what naturally can happen, and I've seen this happen a lot, it seems to be getting better than it has been in the past, but it's still really prevalent in some faith circles, is like, yeah, well, you know, I can't fix this. It's not my job. Mm. You know, we'll look at poverty. I can't fix poverty. I'm going to let the government deal with some of that. I can't fix poverty. I'm going to, you know, and it can be really easy to offload that because I know as a believer, I can't fix this.
Right.
And also to go back to the previous question, I'm just a guy. but we saw here that, and the point that you used, and I loved it, it was just because God is at work does not mean we are excused from that work. Just because God is the one who's going to fix it finally, put, you know, the final nail in this project, doesn't mean we don't have a role to play.
Right.
And I think the equation was zero plus Jesus is not God's plan.
Right.
Right. Like we are required to be involved in trying to bring about God's new kingdom on earth. Mm-hmm. Which is really encouraging on the one hand, because it means that even if there are these things that we know we can't solve, we get to be a part of solving, you know, we get to be a part of that solution eventually.
Or at least giving signs where things go.
Giving signs. It's like, I will work towards this. Mm-hmm. But it can be really easy, again, to just kind of offload that response. I can't fix this. I can't fix, you know.
What's the point? Yeah.
I trust that God will do it. And I think we can kind of pat ourselves on the back a little bit. Like, look at how much I'm trusting God.
Yeah.
My trust is so high that God is going to deal with poverty overseas or deal with hunger in my community that I don't need to do anything because I know God's got it. And we can kind of sneak our way out of that responsibility. But really, we see here, no, our responsibility is to be involved in this. So my question then is, if we haven't been involved in certain areas, obviously, no one can care about everything equally and be equally as involved. You know, I can't be as equally involved in poverty stuff, as pro-life stuff, as healthcare, you know, there's all these big issues that we can't solve.
Right.
We cannot put all of our energy in all of the directions at the same time. But for some of us, there may be some things that we should have been caring about and haven't been. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's been years and years of God's got this, I'm going to let him do this. We kind of don't know where to begin in getting involved in trying to point towards Jesus' eventual redoing of creation. So how do we start? How do we even like know where to begin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I think you look at the text and it gives, you know, the piece of what do we have? And we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And it's food. So like, you know, like we can go there. And I think that we look at God gives us resources and gifts individually and then corporately too. And to say, yeah, what has God given to us? And then you start thinking like, okay, what can we do with it? And I mean, it might easily correspond to some, you know, and maybe it's a social justice kind of things or knee kind of things or ministry kind of things. Other times we might look like, well, we have financial resources. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to discern what we do. And then maybe it gets into what, where's our passions lie? Mm-hmm. Where do we have people resources to pour into these things? Now, I think individually as a family, you mentioned it. We all have certain things we're more drawn towards, maybe because of personal experience, right? So many times I see people and like, oh, they're, you know, started this charity and do that for this disease. And it's often because a family member has dealt with it or died from it or mm-hmm. like it makes total sense. Yeah. They've dealt with that. They're passionate about it. I think it's the same thing for us. Like Jesus gives us the 5 loaves and 2 fishes of, I have a heart ready for the unborn, right? And that you mentioned like, well, okay, yeah, that's maybe what he's saying. Like, yeah, pour into this. You know, maybe you can't, you're not a financial person, so you don't spend your energy there. That's not getting you resources. Or yes, maybe for you, like that passion of creation care. And then, not to be concerned, sometimes, again, he'll give the opportunity and like, oh, yeah, here's another 5 wolves and 2 fish.
Yeah.
You're the owner of waste management now. You know, like, but, you know, kind of thing, you have more opportunity.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with saying, this is what we have. Let's just faithfully steward this.
Yeah.
And trust that God's working in it. Mm-hmm. And not be worried, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be issues in our systems, in our creation, with sin, until the Lord returns.
Yeah.
But not to use that, like you said, as an excuse to say, like, wow, what's the matter? Everything's going down anyways here.
Instead of saying, the brass on the Titanic.
Yeah, instead say, like, yeah, how can we believe this is coming? And we want to point there. We want to point people there, too.
Yeah.
And we believe, yeah, God is coming to renew and restore. So even though we know, like, yeah, just because we're helping some poor people in our community doesn't mean even in our community that is done, right? It's sin's kind of whack-a-mole in this world.
Yeah.
You work on one thing and something else pops up. But for us, we're hopeful in the sense that, one, Jesus is working through this and he is changing lives and he is pointing toward his kingdom. And not only that, and I think this is important for me to remember, too, he's working on my heart as I follow him too. One, to trust him more, but two, just to be more aware of, oh yeah, this is what's going on here. And here's some needs and here's what people are struggling with. And they can sometimes speak truth into me. And, you know, so God's working on us.
It's amazing that part, like just personal example, like I never thought twice about our immigration system at all until I married an immigrant and had to go through it.
Sure.
And even just, in that process of going through paperwork and trying to get my wife back here, like just being so humbled by the things that I didn't know and by the people who love Jesus so much, who've dedicated their lives because of their love for Christ towards helping people who are going through these systems, was so humbling for me in a really good way. And in a way that I would have never have thought possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we can't discount the way that our helping others can really help ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, just going to Kenya, right? And I've had other experiences before traveling where, the hospitality you receive and just, and that's a gift. That's a service. That's, you know, a blessing that we're called to be giving as God's people. And in so many ways, and when you're on the receiving end, you really feel that and the power of it even. And yeah, God's kingdom's at work in those things. So. You know, and again, even some people, you're just good with people and just that, you know, have a way of like you smile at somebody and you say a few words and you just have, and it picks somebody up like, maybe it's just that cashier at Meijer or whatever, but like that's powerful. Like that person's trajectory that day, maybe even larger, might be shifted because the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus came looking for you there. So. Yes, I understand. And we have to be honest, again, as we were at the outset of this, the big picture, this is why we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Sometimes humanly, we get out over our skis, and we've seen that historically, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're still optimistic about ourselves. We're going to fix everything. And then ultimately, something happens. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're really terrible. So then, you know, that's for us, we're like, this is what Scripture tells us. However, there is this hope. There is this new kingdom coming. And we go about that work because we trust Jesus. And that's really the whole thing is inviting that power and being connected, receiving that power in our lives and all those things. So,
yeah. What are we talking about next week, Dan?
So shifting back to the Old Testament this Sunday and the book of Joshua and specifically the number 12 this week. Mm-hmm. So an incredible story of God's people, after all these years, finally coming to the promised land. They have to cross the Jordan River, and God does that miraculously. And then the part we'll really focus on, when coming through, they set up this monument. And in fact, it seems like two monuments of 12 stones. And what's being communicated there about God and what he's done, but also about the people. And we'll talk about, some of the completeness, perfection, but yeah, just even that, what are we remembering? And, you know, what is this event back in Joshua maybe connect with as we look toward even our faith today? And maybe some things we don't always think about in monuments we have that are very fittingly tied to that event. So
yeah,
looking forward to it. But
so much good stuff. Well, thank you, Dan, again for your time. Thanks to all of you for your time and for being a part of this. And we will see you next week.